I should tell you that there was a very unusual nonprofit operating in South St. Louis. It puts used and donated pianos in the hands of people who might otherwise not be able to afford them. The whole idea is that a piano can be more than a piano. It can be something of a lifeline. The organization is Pianos for People, and with me to explain is Sheena Duncan, the organization's executive director. Sheena, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
How in the world did this come into being? It's quite unusual.
Well, it was the brainchild of our founders, Tom Townsend and Pat Eastman. Tom Townsend had an advertising company, and he's a local jazz and blues pianist. And Pat Eastman is a local piano teacher and pianist herself. They had this desire to take pianos and give them away. It was sort of spawned by this article in the New York Times that was talking about how many pianos ended up in landfills and were just being trashed. And I think that was one of the motivations. But it then became a little bit more urgent, I think, after Tom Townsend lost his very talented musician son. His son was also the student of Pat. So they decided they really needed to move it forward. Brought on Joe Jackson of Jackson Pianos, who has a piano business. They realized that they needed somebody to actually refurbish the instruments, not just take them and dump them at people's homes. And then it began. It was December 2012 when we delivered our first piano.
You know, you wouldn't think at first blush that there'd be a crying need out there for pianos, that people wanted them and needed them and couldn't have them. But apparently there is.
There is. And in fact, we were quite overwhelmed by the response, not only by people who really wanted to give their piano, no longer had a need for it, to give their piano back to the community, but equally there was this interest in people. People wanted to have an instrument as well, and we realized that we had found a niche and a service that we could help bring these two together, and there it began.
You wouldn't think that there would be that many people throwing away pianos.
Well, you would be surprised. As a matter of fact, we would love to take every piano, but we've had to become very particular about what we accept, and we've been in a fortunate position to be able to do that. The reason being, pianos have over 2,000 working parts. They're complicated. They are very heavy to move. They are difficult to move. And to be able to accept, we really can only accept pianos that are in very good working order. Otherwise, we would be burdening ourselves with pianos that we just cannot repair. And I guess the other main thing is that we have this philosophy of wanting to provide quality. These are people that can't afford an instrument, that could not. The last thing we want to do is pass on something that is not of good quality and in good working order. So I think that is another a really important part of our program.
Is there a typical recipient?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a typical recipient. Our recipients vary in age. We have families with 8 children through to senior citizens. I think a lot of people read the article in the Post-Dispatch about young man Royce Martin, who was the recipient of our piano. He's a budding and very talented musician. So I wouldn't say there is a typical recipient, but I guess the common denominator would be is that there's a desire to play, and our recipients have to express a keen commitment to want to play or learn the piano. And the other criteria, of course, is financial need, and it's based on financial need.
And how do you determine that?
We have a process we go through. We use the poverty guidelines, and then there is also an interview process. And I think it's important to understand people's individual situations, because maybe they might be just over the poverty guidelines, but you might realize that there are special circumstances in that family that would allow us to make exceptions for those people.
As you indicated, they're hard to move around.
They are.
That must be a big part of the process.
I don't have to do that bit, thank goodness.
Well, who does it?
We have our piano partner, Jackson Pianos, and we have worked out a system where we go through a process. We inspect the pianos before we agree to take them. Then they're picked up. They're brought back to the shop. They're refurbished, any refurbishments that are required. again, that's why we have to be fairly particular, because they're expensive to repair and complicated. Then they're tuned once, sometimes twice, because a lot of them have been sitting and not being cared for a while. And then ultimately we match them with that recipient. And that also takes some coordination, because if it's going to a school, you want something a little hardier, for example.
Are we talking grand pianos and spinets, every size and shape?
Every size. Mostly grands are there's not as much demand for a grand, although occasionally we have accepted and been able to give away a grand piano, yes.
But you do send them to schools as well as to individuals and other institutions?
Yes, we do. Okay. Underfunded schools, we've given them to churches, community organizations, so it's not just individuals, that's right.
Are the people, the individuals who accept them, are they accomplished in the world of piano playing and performing?
Often they are pianists or used to play and have not had an instrument for a while. But I guess the other part of what we've found is, and I guess which leads to the second part of our mission and our what we're doing, is that we realized we were giving away pianos, that sometimes people couldn't play the piano, and what we really needed to do is then provide lessons for these, often the families, and especially the young people, to do. I think to have a piano is great, and it's sort of is this instrument of enticement, but ultimately if you don't teach them to play the piano, then it may start to, the interest may start to wane.
Is this something, the lessons, does this begin, or the lessons begin after they have received the piano, or those who are applying for one, or just anybody who wants to learn to play the piano?
Just not necessarily. I guess one of the great things, again, we opened our piano school in November of 2014, and in the Cherokee area, we had almost immediately had 45 students, which was pretty extraordinary response. Within months, and we now have over 80 students. So we haven't been operating the school for that long, but we've certainly found, again, that there is a real demand and an interest in that area for lessons. So what's happening is you've got piano recipients and piano students, and often our students are now becoming recipients, which I think is a really key thing, because if you have an instrument at home, you can practice. It's available to all family members. It's sort of a centerpiece of it becomes a centerpiece of that family. And we do have families that have up to eight. One of our families has eight children studying the piano. So to have that, to be able to find that that middle ground where you're not just a piano recipient or a student, to be the beneficiary of both is really key.
Is there a charge for the lessons?
There is not. Again, it's based on financial need, mm-hmm. and desire. We want somebody to have a commitment to play, and I think that there are certain expectations that we have of our students. But we have found just such a wonderful response, and to have a location like we do, where there is definitely a need in that area for a really quality, good service, something productive and positive to do after school and on weekends, and we're even starting to have more community events.
I use a line in the introduction saying that a piano is more than a piano. It can be a lifeline. Explain that from your perspective, if you would.
Well, I think it's easy to kind of look at the numbers, and we've had real success in terms of how many pianos we've delivered and how many people are taking lessons. But when you get down on that individual level and start to learn of some of the stories and hear and develop that trust with your students, to hear those stories about what people go through and how much it means for them to have a place that is safe, nurturing, beautiful, that your teacher, that you have formed a relationship with your piano teacher, that you can come on the weekend and or drop in and practice if you want to, if you don't have a piano yet. I think it really starts to resonate then about what we're actually doing and how we're impacting those lives.
Is there any thought of expanding this beyond the piano? I mean, we talked about there are certain difficulties in refurbishing them and moving them around. And, you know, other instruments, perhaps, that are easier to deal with.
Yeah, we did sort of choose the most difficult one, I suppose. But there is another organization in St. Louis that provides band instruments, for example. I guess one of the unique things about what we're doing is that nobody was doing it with pianos. There are other organizations, and I think we're probably one of the only few around the world, and certainly in St. Louis, not around the world, pardon me, around the country, but in St. Louis, we get inquiries saying, what a great idea. Can we do this in our city? So it's possible.
And in the area of expansion, my impression is that you also conduct piano camps.
We do. We had our first piano camp. It was our first summer of the piano school. So again, we will be offering a free summer piano camp to youth in different age groups, both an enrichment camp and for true beginners. And again, I just think to have a quality service and something for people to do, for families to do that are maybe disadvantaged or beyond low income is a great thing to be able to offer.
You have your office on Cherokee Street.
We do.
Is the do the people who take advantage of what you have to offer, are they just from this immediate area or is it more widespread?
It's a good question. We have found there most of our students are now coming from the Cherokee area, although some do come from further afield. But one of the things that we would really like to do in the next 6 months is to open a satellite school, and we're in discussion with that right now. And it's a very inexpensive model, I guess, because we have the piano. We're looking in Ferguson. We have a meeting coming up, and hopefully we'll secure the funding to have, basically, you need a piano or two and a teacher, and it's a turnkey model where, you know, if you have a safe environment in which to offer the lessons, then it's really just providing the teacher.
We have 1 minute left, and my numbers here are 3,400 people have been served during the couple of years have been in existence, 147 pianos distributed.
Yes.
If people, Sheena, want to get in on this, how do they do so?
Well, I guess we would love more financial support. I know that there are a lot of pianos out there. I guess we're pretty much at our level of acceptance, unfortunately, with pianos. What we really would like is support to help us be able to deliver those pianos and to offer more lessons. And our details are pianosforpeople.org is our website.
We will put a link to that website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Sheena Duncan, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on a very different kind of program. It sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me, Don.
And we'll thank everybody for listening to us today. We have to leave you now. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Don Marsh. Thank you for listening.